Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Book of Romans, chapter 5. I want to read a few verses today, of which the last one will be our text. Romans 5, verse 6, we begin reading. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." At this time of year, we hear a good deal about love. At least that's what's advertised all over the place. And this provides opportunity to reflect upon who we love and why. And it is a time wherein we may express our devotion toward the one whom we love. And yet, not only do we love, we like to be loved, don't we? So we think about love. Our text tells us, and our text is verse 8, our text tells us of one who is devoted to us. It speaks of the result of such love. It informs us that while we were unlovely and unlovable and unloving, Jesus chose to love us. I just wonder, how have we responded to Him? Well, when we think about the context of our verse here today, the context speaks of how the saved are saved by faith and have peace with God. You can see that in verse 1. And after that, we can still face this life along with its trials because of the love of God and because of the Holy Spirit which is in our hearts. Now, all of this is possible because of what Jesus has done for us. And we see that within our reading. He's done that for us regardless of the fact that we weren't deserving of it. We didn't deserve God's mercy. We didn't deserve His grace. But yet, it says He died for us. And so in our context, we find a comparison is given regarding such people of whom one might die for, and the category of folk of whom Jesus did in fact die for. And the contrast is rather striking. And so I want to speak to you today from verse 8, which says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The title of my message is, "While We Were Yet Sinners." That really is good news. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. And we ask that You bless Your Word to our hearts and speak to us through it. And may we be encouraged today. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, may we give You the honor and the glory and the praise for what You've done in our lives. And Lord, how You saved us and how You will preserve us until the end. And Lord, we'll see You face to face. And we ask in behalf of those who here today may be lost, that Lord, You would show them their need, that You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that today might be the day of their salvation. Regardless of saved or lost, may all of us understand today the truth we see in this passage, that all that You've done and all that You'll do was done for us when we didn't deserve anything. And so, Lord, we give You the honor and the glory. Thank You for all that You've done. We love You today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we were yet sinners. This verse manifests several things to us, tells us some things, and we want to look at these as we go through and look at this verse today. The first thing that I want to point out to you when we see verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," is that this verse manifests God's love for people. Now, I want to remind you that you read the Scriptures and you find that God loves His creatures. He loves His creation. And He loves people. But not only does God love all that He made and spoke into existence and provides for and continues to give life to and all that, God also has a love toward His chosen. And you say, "I don't understand that." Well, you know what? I love you, but I don't love you the same way I love my wife. I love you, but I don't love you the same way I love my own family. There's an intimate love. And God loves all men, but He doesn't love all men intimately. Now, you have to understand that and realize that that is true. Now, God does love man. God provides for man. He tells us to love. And He says that we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we love those who despise us. Now, God's not going to tell us to do something that He doesn't do Himself. So I have no problem looking at someone and saying to any man anywhere that God loves you. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever in the least. Scriptures tell us things along that line, and we'll remind you of a verse of that in just a moment. Yet on the other hand, when I look over into the Scriptures, over in the book of Romans is one example. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it tells us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Now you have to run by context there that the "us" is in regard to those who are mentioned in a couple of verses prior to that, in verse 33, where it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It is God that justifies. God loves all men, but then God loves His chosen in an intimate fashion and an intimate way. And I'm so glad that He has. I'm glad for God's grace. I'm glad for God's mercy. I'm glad for God's love. Now, our verse tells us that God commendeth His love toward us. That word commendeth in the Greek language means to recommend to favorable attention. It is kind of like putting it on display, putting it right out there so you can see it. And so, you know, if you ever go downtown and you see the shops and the stores there downtown, and you know what? They have window displays, don't they? They have commended that before you. If you're watching television, a commercial comes on, something is commended to you. Well, that's kind of the idea. Now, God commendeth His love toward us. Now, if God's going to do that commendation, if He's going to place it in a favorable light, what He is doing is He's going to manifest His love. And how did He manifest His love toward His creation? How did He manifest His love toward the world? He did it in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth so that He might be a sacrifice for us. And that's really what the verse tells us, that God commends His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And of course, you know the all-familiar John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, understand that when God loves, God loves. And love is to set the affection upon. And so God loves the world, and God loves His chosen, and He loves His own. And, you know, the problem is, when we talk about the love of God, sometimes people raise up and they say, "Well, I deserve to be loved." Now, you have to keep in mind that God does not have to love anybody. And this is where people find fault with God. "Well, God didn't do this. God didn't do that. God did this. He, you know, if He loved me, He would do this." The fact of the matter is, we do not deserve God's love. By the way, if you apply that to your marriage, if you apply that to your family, that you do not deserve the love of the individual that's loving you, you're much better off than thinking, "Well, I'm this, I'm that, and I deserve all these things." We do not deserve God's love, and our text tells us that He didn't have to wait for us to get to a certain level before He loved us. That's the good news, isn't it? Because God not only loves the good and the wealthy and the kind, as we think of it, not only does He just love the righteous, you know, but God loves the poor, and God loves the bad, God loves the sinner. Now, that's what the verse tells us. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. And yet I also remind you that God intimately loves His chosen. And I'm glad for that as well. But you say, "Oh, well, what about the chosen?" Do you realize that all the chosen were at one time still lost, undone, dead in trespasses and sins, alienated from God, blind, groping in the dark? All men are sinners, aren't they? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet the good news is what we find in this text, that even though we were sinners, we didn't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, we couldn't merit it, there wasn't anything we could do to make God love us, God loved us anyway. That is good news. And so this verse manifests God's love for His people, but then it also, and I've already touched upon this, but the second thing I want to bring out to you is that this verse marks the evil condition of such people. Notice it says, "While we were yet sinners." Now, when you talk to people in our society, you run into individuals and they say, "Well, I may not be perfect, but I'm not a sinner. I've done things wrong, but I'm not a sinner." People do not like that word, sinner. But it's a good word, it's a biblical word, and it's an appropriate word. The word means to miss the mark, it is to fall short of. And so if you're trying to be perfect and you come off and miss it anyway, it's to take a false step, you're a sinner. And by the way, every one of us have sinned. Now, from our perspective, would you do for others what Jesus has done for you? No, well, God loved me because I was special. No, He loved you because He chose to love you. God loved me because I was smart, or I was born in America. God loved me because of this or because of that. Or, you know what? That's not what God bases His love upon. In fact, He tells us that He loved us while we were sinners. When we didn't have anything to offer, when we had nothing to give, when did God choose the nation of Israel? When they were poor and outcast and few in number and wretched. He describes them as a person that is bloody and just very weak and close to death. Now, this verse manifests the evil condition of such people. I want you to know that we're sinners. And we find the contrast of love's display toward different categories within the reading which we read already here today. Now, you go back and you look at verse 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And by the way, let me just toss this in here. If you feel that you're godly and feel that you got everything right in order and your ducks are in line, then where does that put you in relationship to the death of Jesus Christ? He died for the ungodly, you see. Died for sinners. But He says, "Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners." What do you find? What do you find in the text is that, you know, for a righteous man, it's hard to find one to die for a righteous man. You'll find them, but it's hard to find that. And then you take the good man. What's slimmer yet? He says, peradventure. One might die. You might find somebody that might die for a righteous man, but it's even less of a chance you're going to find somebody die for just a good man. But who in the world will die for the ungodly? Who would die for the wicked? Let me ask you, my friend, would you die for the mother who abandoned the newborn and tossing it into the trash? Would you die for that mother? Who would die for the drug dealer who destroys countless lives? Who would die for the rapist or the murderer, the convicted felons? Would you take their place? Would you die for them? Would you make it possible for them to live? Would you die for a gang member who just goes out and hurts people just for fun? Would you die for the maniacs who slaughter untold innocent people? Well, you can look through history. You know that you can pull out some of the names in memory. Would you die for the people who get out, other, you know, kidnap other people and torture them and mangle them and just... I know it's kind of disgusting to think about that, but there's a lot of evil people and a lot of evil things that goes on in our world. Would you die for that person? Would you give up your life for them? Who would die for the liar and the cheat, the thief, the wino? Who died for the adulterer and for the prostitute? Well, you might not, I might not, but I know one who did. Jesus did. Jesus said that He came to seek them out. Now it says that in our text that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You might die for a righteous man. You might think about dying for a good man, but wouldn't you die for a bad man? Most likely not. But who did? Who did? Who died for sinners? Jesus died for sinners. But I know how the human heart thinks, and I know that in our own self-righteousness, we'll sit there, and you might be here today, and you say, "Well, you know, I'm just not like those people. I've never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I'm not bad like they are. I would never do those kind of things." But I want you to remember, you are still ungodly. You're still a sinner. You don't believe that? Look across the page, or go back a page or two to chapter 3 of the book of Romans, and look what it says in verse 10. Again, I mention these things because there are some in our society who know that they are not perfect, but they would never admit they're sinners. And yet the Bible says that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous." No, not one. That means you. That means me. None righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. My friend, you have nothing to offer God. You say, "But I'm not as bad as this person. I haven't done what those people do. I'm not as corrupt as they are." You may not be, but you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. You need God's grace. You need the work of the Lord in your heart. We have sinned against God. Now that puts us in a very bad position because as sinners, we certainly have nothing to offer God. What is it you can offer to Him? What righteousness can you provide? You've already sinned. And yet it's amazing. You meet people today who believe they can get to heaven by their good works. They believe they can do this or do that and merit God's love. I do not deserve God's love. I cannot merit God's love. But I'm so glad that He loved me anyway. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that He loved you? Aren't you glad that He gave up His life for you that you might have eternal life? And He brought you to the place of repentance and faith. And you've been saved. You called upon Him. And you believe. This text manifests God's love for people. But it also makes the evil condition of marks the evil condition of such people. He died for sinners. Now, the third thing I want to bring to your attention in this text is, and you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, this verse measures the extent of His love. Now, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, why does that really make a difference? Because we will manifest our love toward people. You do it toward your neighbor, you do it toward your coworkers, you do it toward people in society. And you do it toward your family, you do it toward your fellow church members and people you come into contact with. You do demonstrate love, even though you may not consider that to be so. But the fact that you don't steal from them, you don't cheat, you don't murder them, you don't commit adultery with them, you know, when you fulfill the law, that's what love is, fulfilling of the law. So if I love you enough, I'm not going to do those things against you. So if I don't do those things against my neighbor or do them against you, that shows that I do love you. Right? But to what extent do I love you? Just as we've already brought up the idea, who would die for the righteous man and who would die for the good man? And who would die for the bad man, the evil person? We show our love in many different ways, don't we? We'll do it sometimes by giving money. It doesn't have to be family. It could be a complete stranger. But we'll show love to them by giving money. By giving clothing, we'll provide shelter for people sometimes, or whether it's family or not, you try to rehabilitate people. That's a demonstration of love. Helping them out, that's a demonstration. Providing food, counseling. You know what? You might love somebody enough to even donate an organ to them. Nothing wrong with that. But would you die for them? Would you give up your life for them? That's what I mean by the extent of His love. And this verse manifests that for us. Because we know the Bible tells us that God sends rain upon the just and the unjust. And He does good to the unthankful, you know, and to the evil people. God does love His creatures. But I'm telling you, He did something more than just providing rain and food and shelter and clothing. It says He died for sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So how far did Jesus go? Did He just die for the righteous? Did He die for the good man? I mean, our text says, well, some might die, scarcely for a righteous. Peradventure for a good man. Or to what length? He went at all, didn't He? I mean, for the sinner. To the down and outer. He gave up His life. For the drug dealer, for the prostitute, for the very immoral. You say, how do you know that? Because when you read Corinthians and you can read Ephesians, it talks about where God, Paul writes by the inspiration of God, and he says, such were some of you. But now they're saved. Now they're washed. A murderer can be saved, can't they? Thieves can be saved, can't they? Adulterers can be saved, can't they? Aren't you glad that God died for sinners? Because if you say, no, I think that He shouldn't die for sinners, then that kind of leaves you out. Leaves me out. Because the fact is, we're sinners. All have sinned. They come short of the glory of God. And to what extent? He didn't go partway. He didn't go halfway. What did He do? He went all the way. He gave up His life. Now that's what the verse tells us. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me also suggest unto you, when we look into this verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that this verse is a message of our only hope. Our only hope. By that, I want to make it very clear. This is the sole way for forgiveness. And it's defined right here in our text. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You had people in great need who could not do anything for themselves. God did everything that was possible, excuse me, and necessary to take them from that condition to another condition, which is eternal life. And it's all because of God, it's all because of his grace, and it's all because of his mercy. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to remind you of a verse over in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 21. Part of that verse says this, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Very simply, it's this. If you can get to heaven by living a good life, then why did Jesus die? If you can get to heaven by treating your neighbor right, then why did Jesus die? If the Jew who believes in circumcision, if circumcision does avail the merits of God and brings the grace of God to their lives, then why would Jesus die? If baptism is meritorious, and I know people who believe they're getting to heaven because they've been baptized. If baptism is meritorious, then why would Jesus die? If the church can dispense grace, if you becoming a member of this church makes you an entrant into heaven, then why would Jesus Christ have to die? If the saint, some saint could pull some strings for you. Now you know what I'm talking about. There are those who believe that you can pray to certain dead saints and they can intercede for you. If they can pull strings for you, then why did Christ die? And you know, there are some who believe that God just is going to overlook sin. You know, I mean, God is just such a compassionate, loving God. They forget that he's a righteous God, a just God, and an all-consuming fire. However, they say, well, God is love. He's not going to put anybody into hell. If God can just overlook your sin, then why did Jesus die? If he can just close his eyes to it. God can't close his eyes to sin. And I'll tell you, my friend, if you say, well, I just believe that, and many people say this, I just think God will understand. I'm doing the best I can, and he'll understand. If that's what God works his salvation is on a certain understanding of your condition and lack of merit and grace, you know what? You're not going to make it. But if that's what he does, why did Christ die? You understand the necessity of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? And who he died for? I'm glad he didn't die for the righteous, because none of us would ever make it because we're not righteous. But he died for the sinner. So God commendeth his love toward us, and not while we yet sinners. Christ died for us. And so he must have died. He gave up his life. He's the sacrifice. He is our atonement. Therefore, he is the only way. That's why I say that this verse defines for us our only hope. You want to get to heaven today? One, you have to realize you're a sinner doomed and damned to devil's hell. You want to get to heaven? You want forgiveness of sins? Don't try living a good life. It won't get you in. You're already a sinner. You're already condemned. Well, I'll just join the church and be baptized and start giving money. Well, that's not going to get you to heaven. You can do anything you want. That's not going to get you to heaven. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who can get you into heaven. What did Jesus say when John chapter 14, verse 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, I know that's offensive to many religions around the world, and I know that's not politically correct, and I know that's eclectic, but you know what? Jesus said it, and it's true. The only Savior is Jesus Christ. There is none other. And so Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I can't save you, this church can't save you, and you can't save yourself. There's only one Savior. And it's not Muhammad or Joseph Smith or any other kind of false religious idea. I'm telling you, it's Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. If you want forgiveness of your sin today, you must go by Jesus Christ. It's He's the one who left heaven. He came to earth. He died as a sinner, though he never sinned. He made the provision for sinners so that we might have eternal life. And if you're going to be saved, you can only be saved by embracing Jesus Christ. He's the one that was crucified, buried, and risen again. Do you believe that? Have you trusted Him? Have you called upon Him? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? This verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, is a message of our only hope. And then I want to mention unto you my last point. This verse gives us how that marvelous grace is displayed. It says God commended His love. You didn't provoke it. You didn't merit it. God is the initiator. God is the mover. God sent His own Son. You know what the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19? It says we love Him because He first loved us. Away with this selfish humanity. Away with this human interest kind of concept. You know what? We were unlovely and unloving, and we hated God, despised God. God is the one that moved. God is the one that took the initiative. And if you love God today, you say, I love God with all my heart. You love Him today. Do you know why you love Him? It's because He loved you first. And if He wouldn't have loved you first, you'd have no hope. And you wouldn't love Him back, by the way. The only reason we love Him is because He loves us. God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. We had nothing, but He died for us. That is good news. That's grand news. And I have to just hammer it one more time before I pass on. His love toward us is not based on anything who we are or anything which we have done. I think even some of our modern Christianity has gotten to the place where they think that God loves them based upon something that they've accomplished. It cannot be so. Not biblically. God didn't love me because I'd done anything. God didn't love me because He looked down and saw some sort of merit in me. But there's something good about this guy. You know what? He loved me when I was a sinner. When I was dead and stinky and hateful. Blind, groping in the dark. That's what God loved me. And He gave His Son to die that I might have eternal life. And what that reminds us of is the grace of God. We use their acronym that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But grace basically is unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. And I want you to know you're saved by grace today through Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. If you're here and you're lost, He is the only Savior. And the only way you can be saved is by His grace through faith. And the faith that you receive is a gift from God. That's what we learn over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, isn't it? You need to learn that verse, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you earn a gift? Do you deserve a gift? No, a gift is freely given, freely bestowed. Salvation is a gift given to sinners when they didn't earn it and didn't deserve it. But if you would look back into Romans chapter 3 just for a moment, I just must say that salvation is by grace. No one will get to heaven and say, I'm here because I was smart enough, I was good enough, I did this, I did that. No one's going to pat themselves on their back when they get to heaven. Anyone who gets to heaven will be there by grace and will say, I'm here only because of Jesus Christ and His grace and His mercy. He came to me, He saved me, He gave me life. And He deserves all honor and glory. Romans chapter 3 tells us this in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. I'm telling you, if you're trying to get to heaven by keeping the commandments and living a good life, you will not make it. Read the verse. No flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But notice, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, and every sinner needs the righteousness of God. How are we going to get it? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, notice, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. And the reason there's no difference is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God doesn't save one person one way and saves another person another way. He saves everyone He saves by grace. And he doesn't pick somebody out and say, okay, well, you made it, so you know I just give you mostly grace and you did the rest. It doesn't work that way. Anyone who's ever saved is saved completely by grace. And it's received to us by faith, by belief. Look into chapter 4, look at verse 16, the first part of the verse. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. See that? One other verse, Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Turn back to Romans chapter 2. What do you find in our passage then? This passage tells us several things that I've wanted to bring to your attention today. And I pray that it's blessed your heart in some degree. We talked about how that this verse manifests God's love for people. It marks the evil condition of such people. It measures the extent of His love because He died for us. And this message is a message of our only hope. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we see that this verse is marvelous grace is displayed. If not for the grace of God, none of us would have forgiveness or eternal life. Now I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 2. My last point is this. It's actually my conclusion. And so this verse should move people to respond. I say that because of the reading in Romans chapter 2 verse 3. He says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou, notice, the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing, notice what it says, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." The goodness of God leads to repentance. And so therefore, when I look into this text, and I see that while I was a sinner, hopeless and helpless, God commended His love toward me, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ would die for me. And in time, He saved me and gave me eternal life. You know what? That's the goodness of God presented, isn't it? Goodness of God. Now that should lead you to repentance. And so, in a double application, one, if you're here and you're saved, this should cause you to reflect upon what Christ has done for you. And you ought to give Him thanks. You ought to give Him the glory. No kidding. I've met people who profess to be Christians, and it was all based upon their goodness and what they've done and their church membership and how they cling on and hold on. Excuse me. My friend, if you're here today and you're saved, there's only one recourse, and it's I give Jesus Christ all the glory. I'm saved today only because of the grace of God. And His love was commended toward me while I was a sinner. And for every one of us who are saved, we ought to give Him the glory. Now, the other aspect is, if you're here and you're lost, old sinner friend, I tell you, I want you to know Christ died for sinners. Will you respond to that by trusting Him as your Lord and Savior? Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner today? I have no fear of saying, if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life. I believe it with all my heart. I could meet any man anywhere and tell them, Christ died for sinners, and if you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be saved. That's Bible. That's good news. The good news is, it was while we were yet sinners. You see, there's still hope, sinner. God moves in your heart, God convicts you, God draws you. Would you believe today? Would you repent? Would you trust Christ? Call upon Him and be saved. Christian, would you rejoice in what He's done for you? I pray this has been a blessing to your heart and a reminder to each one of us who are already saved of God's grace and His mercy. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. We'll sing a verse of invitation. The invitation simply is this, right where you are, you can be saved. You really can. If you need help, you certainly can come. We'll be glad to talk to you. We'll be glad to read Scripture to you. Glad to be to pray with you. But, walking an aisle is not going to save you. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ will. Jesus is the Savior. This church can't save you. He is the Savior. But if you need help, you come. If you trust Christ where you stand, and you need to make it public, the Bible tells us that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, then you come. Let everybody know what God has done in your heart. And so, Christian, you need to be praying for the lost that they might be saved, and then you ought to rejoice and thank God for His grace toward you that you are saved today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it with these people. And I pray that you would move in every heart by your Spirit. May we who are saved rejoice in the salvation you've given to us. Lord, we know it's all by your grace and mercy, and you deserve the honor and the glory. And we pray for those here that are lost, that they might see their need. You'd work in their heart, draw them to yourself. And Lord, we pray that they would be saved today. And we'll thank you for that as well. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?